Newsroom is Ken Guy.
This is the London Broadcasting Company, LBC, the independent voice of radio news.
It's 4 o'clock and this is Ken Guy with LBC News. A Jewish woman who says she was threatened with assassination following the shooting of the president of Marks & Spencer said this morning that she was determined to carry on as normal. Speaking on LBC's Nightline program, the woman who wishes to remain anonymous said that the Jewish community in London wouldn't be panicked by the latest threats from terrorist organizations. She said that the British government should take steps to stop the activities of Arab organizations in London that support terrorism. Yesterday, the woman, who's a leading figure in a British Zionist organization, claimed she received a call from a man who said that she was number two on a death list which included Mr. Joseph Seif, the head of Marks & Spencer, and Sir John Cohen, the 75-year-old founder of the Tesco store chain. Meanwhile, Mr. Seif is said to be progressing satisfactorily in the Middlesex Hospital. Another development in the fuel crisis. Libya has raised the price of its crude oil to more than $18 a barrel. The price rise takes effect immediately. A few hours before Libya's announcement, Nigeria said it was raising its oil price from $8 to more than $14. Bolivia, too, has raised its oil export price to $16 a barrel. Bolivian oil is now the costliest in Latin America. So far, there's been no reaction from British oil companies. Thousands of Londoners celebrated the New Year in the traditional Trafalgar Square style. About 30,000 people jammed into the area, singing and celebrating, and dozens jumped into the fountains. Several arrests were made, and there were about 100 minor casualties. In Scotland, the power crisis made it the gloomiest Hogmanay since the war. Christmas decorations were blacked out, and hundreds of streetlights were put out to save power. But despite the gloom, several hundred people in Glasgow gathered in St. George Square to greet the new year. The new year in Northern Ireland got off to a quiet start. Three incidents were reported, but no one was hurt. In the Woodstock Road area of Belfast, a shot was fired at a police mobile patrol. In Newry, there was an attempt to set fire to pews in a Church of Ireland church, and again in Belfast, three petrol bombs were thrown into a television rental shop in the Antrim Road. Among the world's heads of states making New Year addresses was the Communist Party chief in the Soviet Union, Mr. Leonid Brezhnev. In a televised broadcast to the nation, Mr. Brezhnev said the Soviet Union would keep as its first priority during 1974 the maintenance of peace and friendship among nations. He spoke of the diplomatic successes scored by the Soviet Union, including the ending of the Vietnam War and the setting up of the Geneva Peace Conference. He said international détente had improved, but warned that what he called aggressive forces, which he didn't specify, were trying to sabotage détente. In the Soviet Union itself, Mr. Brezhnev said considerable success had been scored in economic and cultural progress and in the new level of living standards. Mrs. Golda Meir's ruling Labour Party looks like being re-elected in the Israeli elections. But with less than a tenth of the votes counted, the party looks like having only 50 seats in the new parliament compared to the 56 that it has at the moment. The right-wing coalition party showed early gains, and it's thought that it'll probably end up with 37 or 38 seats compared with the 32 seats that it now holds. Efforts to break the deadlock in setting up the Common Markets Regional Fund begin in London on Thursday. Britain's Foreign Secretary, Sir Alec Douglas-Hume, will hold talks with his West German counterpart, Heer Appel. The two countries are diametrically opposed in their idea on the size of the fund. Britain has called for a kitty of £1,500 million to help develop poorer regions of member countries. West Germany disagrees with this and has failed to reach a compromise in recent talks in Brussels. Britain's third commercial radio station, Radio Clyde, went on the air for the first time at 10:30 last night. The station was launched with a jingle and a short prayer by the Reverend Andrew Herron, a leading figure in the Church of Scotland. There may be more indictments as a result of the Watergate affair in the United States. The special Watergate prosecutor, Leon Jaworski, said in Washington that grand juries will be ready to consider returning indictments early in the new year. He didn't elaborate further, but pointed out that 12 people have already pleaded guilty as a result of the investigations that his task force have conducted. And that's the news. Our next bulletin, London News at 4:30, international and national news again at 5.
Time for you to ring 353-8111 and talk to Dennis Rickard on Nightline.
And welcome back. 5 minutes past the hour, 4 o'clock in the morning on LBC, 417 metres medium wave and 97.3 VHF. I don't know if it's a spirit of Bolshevism that's going on in this place, but I just popped upstairs on a call of nature, and there's our security guard sitting at the door with a portable radio. Not, as you might expect, expressing loyalty towards his employers by listening to us. No, listening to that lot down the road at Bush House. I mean, you know, lads, somebody does listen to you in London. I don't know why, because all he's listening to is the 51st repeat of Radio Newsreel for today. You've got them all outside. Yes, they're outside inviving, aren't they? There's about 20 of them. Incredible number of engineers. It's amazing how people interested in broadcasting like looking around other people's stations. I must confess I enjoy the situation myself. It's always nice to see how the other fellow operates, and you all sit there discussing your various problems. Anyway, we've got our problems. It's called Dennis Rickard on Nightline. But I've had a message, in fact, from a gentleman at Hammersmith Hospital. Now, apparently, he's going up to Perth soon, and if our lady earlier on would like to contact him, or contact us, is it? Yeah. We have our operator upstairs, to wit Selwyn, and we have his number, and if you'd like to contact him, he'll try and do a few investigations for you in the Perth area to see if you locate your evacuee foster parents. So there we are. Okay, let's go to one of our next open line calls. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Dennis.
Hello there.
Good morning. I'd like to make a couple of comments about the lady who I know, but I won't give your name, who was on just over an hour ago regarding this list, the so-called death list, which the Arabs have given.
Yeah.
I'll give you my name and what I do, because it will take, with our organisation, it will take more than a few Arabs running about St John's Wood with guns to frighten us. My name's Ronnie Jacobs, and I'm chairman of the Young Farouk Zionist Organisation, one of the largest youth Zionist organisations in London. And the point that I'd like to make is this, you know...
You're number five.
Sorry?
You're probably number five now.
Number five, well, I'm anonymous in the phone book.
Okay.
And it's a few years since I've left Glasgow, so they've got to look for me first. But the point that I'd like to make is this, Dennis. You know, I blame the governments of the world, and in particular the British government, for this situation developing where we now have Arabs literally running about the streets with guns, going into British citizens, respected figures, whether they be Jewish or otherwise, and shooting them in cold blood. And I'll tell you why. You may remember, I think it was about 4 or 5 months ago, the Israelis forced down a plane, an Iraqi plane, which was travelling from, I think it was from Lebanon to Iraq, in which they had very good, reliable information that Dr. George Habash, the leader of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the movement which today from Beirut openly boasted about attempting to assassinate Lord Seif, the Israelis brought down this plane. And the British ambassador of the United Nations was one of the first men to stand up and condemn Israel for what they termed an act of air piracy. Now,
I think in that, quite frankly, he was probably right. No matter what the reason, it was air piracy.
Well, could I put it to you this way, Dennis? A few years ago, the Israelis, very cleverly, I think, I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, and quite rightly, I'm sure you will agree with me on this point, took Adolf Eichmann out of Argentina. Now, Adolf Eichmann was tried for crimes against humanity, and there wasn't a particular uproar in the world when Adolf Eichmann, after a fair trial, was summarily executed. Now, in my opinion, there is no difference between what Adolf Eichmann did and what George Habash did. Their methods may be different, but what they are after is the same, and that is the annihilation of the Jews. There is no difference whatsoever. It is a crime against humanity, and rather than having the British ambassador and any other ambassador standing up in the United Nations and condemning Israel for this, they should have applauded Israel for being the only country in the world for having the courage to try and stop terrorism. I mean, the British government a few years ago gave in to the the government of Edward Heath gave in a few years ago to the PFLP, you may remember, as regards Leila Khaled. This was the lady, I'll call her a lady because I don't want you to cut me off especially, who attempted with somebody else to bring down a plane, rather to hijack a plane which was travelling, I think it was over Southend, and the plane ended up landing in Heathrow. Leila Khaled was duly captured by the British, and a few days later, when a British plane was hijacked by the Arabs, Edward Heath, unlike now, he doesn't want to give in to the miners. At that time, he decided that it was not wrong to give in to, it was wrong to give in to the miners, but it's
but
not wrong to give in to Arab terrorism.
Yes, but to be fair to the British government and Edward Heath at that time, if you have 150 innocent passengers sitting in a desert in the middle of Jordan, and you have one girl to be released, are you going to say, kill those 150 for the sake of holding this one female?
Right, I'll answer you, Dennis. In my opinion, and I'm not being cold-blooded about it, I think I'm being very factual, I think that facts have proved themselves, it would have been a terrible thing, admittedly, if these 150 people had been killed. But in the long term, it might have been cheap at the price, and I'll explain to you why. Had the British not given in, the Arabs would have had no reason for doing any other hijackings and for carrying out the type of acts they did at Rome Airport. In my opinion, they have only carried out these acts because they have got away with it.
I don't think you could say that, because, you see, the problem with air piracy is it affects so many nations. Now, if we'd have said, right, there was a case in point of the Arabs flying around the Mediterranean a couple of weeks ago in an aircraft which finally landed, I think, at Kuwait.
Yes.
I could be wrong there.
Yes.
It would have been logical to suppose that I'm talking about the massacre. Yes,
yeah.
It is Rome Airport. Yeah, you're quite right. It would be logical to suppose that a few shells fired into the aircraft would annihilate the lot. But then again, you face the fact that five or six innocent crew people would be killed. Now, I would find it extremely hard to have to come to that decision to say then to eliminate a few terrorists, five innocent people have got to be killed.
Yeah, I can see your point, Dennis, but the point...
We're viewing this...
I think we're at cross purposes here.
Yeah,
not really.
Yeah, I find it very hard to argue it against you. Let's be quite honest about this, because basically I agree.
Yeah.
But, one has got, I think, to argue against you, if only to try and present, if you like, the other side.
Yeah.
It is very easy to argue in hindsight.
See, one thing, see, with the Israelis, you see, they have never given in to Arab terrorism, and you'll find that now, the last thing which happened against the Israelis, and after all, these are the people that the Arabs are supposed to be fighting against, was the massacre at Munich. And as you know, any other time, the Arabs have not carried out acts against the Israelis for two reasons. The first reason is that they haven't the Israeli security is very good, and I don't think they're particularly capable of it. And the other reason, which I think is even more important, is they know they will not get away with it. They know that if they hijack an Israeli plane, and then like the event of them being able to do so, the Israelis will not allow Arab terrorists who they're holding to go free. If 250 or 300 people in a jumbo jet, say, have to be killed, it's very unfortunate. It's a terrible tragedy, but in the long term, it is going to save lives. There's no difference, I would say, between the type of thing which Chamberlain did with Adolf Hitler, which was appeasing Hitler, and what the governments of the world are doing as regards the Arab terrorism. And what I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I know I waited for an hour, and I'm sure there's other people who want to get on, but what I would like to see happening, and here I think you maybe would agree with me, is this, to, you know, and this is the crux of the matter, how are we going to solve this problem? Now, the PFLP have boasted from Beirut, they've been allowed to boast from Beirut. Dr. George Abbas has said openly, we were responsible for attempting to kill this Zionist thief.
Mm.
Now, that's fair enough. If that's what they say, okay, then we accept it. But then, Mr. Thief, I nearly said what you said before, Lord Thief, Mr. Thief is a respected British citizen. Britain has diplomatic relations with Lebanon. The British government should now say to Lebanon, somebody from Lebanon has come into our country. They have attempted to assassinate a British citizen. We want you to send this man over to us, or at least to do something about closing down this murder organisation, the PFLP and the other associates of it. If you don't do that, then they should simply fail to have diplomatic relations with Lebanon and any other country that does this kind of act. This, I think, is the only way the problem is going to be solved.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, you know, it's very difficult to try and, I think, answer in hindsight. And, again, I can foresee that every
supporter of Israel, a supporter of the Arab countries, is going to pick up that phone in London tonight. But there again, that's what it's all about. 3538111. I find it very difficult to answer, to argue against you on that score. I find that the attempted assassination, attempted murder of Mr. C was completely reprehensible, irreprehensible on the part of these terrorists. And one could only hope the special branch are doing their job and protecting others, because when this sort of thing happens, we have to, I think, take measures. But there again, do you take measures and do you kill innocent people? Should innocent people be killed in a pursuit of fighting these people? Urban guerrilla warfare is a manifestation of the 20th century. And it's a terrible manifestation, because you never know whether the person alongside you harbours a machine gun or not. Anyway, we go to another call. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, sir.
You're on Nightline.
Oh, this is Bill. I'm a night telephone operator at St. Charles Hospital, Ladbroke Grove.
I know it well.
Oh, this is good. Yeah. Well,
it's a grotty place, isn't it? It's a grotty place, isn't it?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to, you know, wish all your members of staff a very happy New Year and congratulate what a wonderful job you are doing.
Okay, Bill.
As I've been listening to quite a lot of time. And also like to, if it's possible, pass a message on and wish all the members of the greatest team in the country the Happy New Year.
Which one's that?
Which, of course, is the Arsenal.
The Arsenal.
And especially the one and only Charlie George.
Okay. Fair
and
enough.
And I hope you have continue to do a wonderful job, which I'm sure everybody is agreeing that you are doing this. And I find it, you know, being on night duty on the telephone and find it on the exchange here, find it very interesting to listen to the different things that are going on. I think, and I say it with a bottom of my heart, I think you're doing a wonderful job.
And thank you very much for calling us. It's nice to have those comments on this New Year's morning.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bill. And don't forget, get your clears down.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye to you. Okay, it's 16 minutes past 4 o'clock in the morning. And if you've just got up, good morning, it's New Year's Day. And haven't you got a hangover? Well, if you're still with us, you'll have a hangover in the morning when you finally get up. We have a call. Good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hello. Hello there. A lady.
Yes.
Ah.
Happy New Year to
Thank you very much.
And all to all of you there.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to comment on a phone call about an hour ago from a gentleman about living in England. Now, I was born in England. I'm not English. I'm from an Eastern European country. And I would just like to say that although all the troubles we've been through, I think it's a grand place to be. And quite honestly, I think that if everybody just crosses their fingers, I think we'll get through this all. I think we're halfway through it now. And I think we'll get through it all. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree entirely.
I think it's a grand... I think England has done marvels for me. I was born here.
Mm.
So obviously I think the English way, you know. And I'm very, very grateful to England.
And
I don't want to go into politics because I don't like politics. But I think that it's a fantastic place.
Hmm.
No matter what's going on,
jolly
I
good.
Think whatever happens, we'll get through it.
Well, thank you very much for coming up and making those points. Nice to know that somebody likes us.
You know, let's all keep our peckers up. And I think we'll all get through it well.
I think we'll get through as well. We've had crisis before. We live on crises. Crises, that's the word for it, yeah. Okay, let's have another call. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hello.
I must congratulate you on the wonderful show that you put on for us, got from the south of the border tonight. It was absolutely fabulous, boy.
Jolly good.
I tell you. Just to hear those pipers, I was choked. And Hubby was wanting to hear your program because he's a piper and drummer.
Is he?
And at 12:03 he was called to casualty. But he heard the pipes going out of the studio. the two of us on the radio at the same time.
How about that?
And he said to me, and that Grace note's wonderful.
There you go.
He was really thrilled, and I was glad to see that there was such hospitality between the Scotch and the English this morning.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to say Happy New Year to all of you there at LBC, and I wish I was there to give you a wee duck and Doris.
Ah, there you go.
Happy New Year, and long may your love reach.
Ah, okay.
Aye. Okay, Dennis.
Aye.
God bless.
Bye-bye to you.
Bye-bye.
Ah, well, what can you say about that? You can say hello to the next caller. That's what you can say. Yes, good morning
good
to you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
This is Eddie from Grays in God's County.
Ah, well, where else? Where else, Eddie? Essex, give it a name, check.
I'm a little bit disappointed.
You are?
Give it a name, Essex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm very disappointed tonight. I've been trying to get through to you about 2 o'clock onwards.
Mm.
But I had a great bit of fun doing it because we got several cross lines. And I've got several blokes saying hello, hello. One lady from Kingston-on-Thames saying hello. A chappie from London saying hello. And they were saying hello so much, I had to use your lady friend. But anyway, I had the daughters here this evening with their husbands all lined up ready. The organ all set ready to sing you a Happy New Year song. But unfortunately, we couldn't get through and they've had to go home now. Are you with me still?
I'm still here. You haven't got the organ plugged in, have you?
Well, I have, boy, but I've just come to bed.
Nip down and play it.
Well, what would you like?
What do you want to do for us?
Well, I don't know at the moment, tell you the truth.
Any suggestions? What can we play on the organ? Come on, valid suggestions. valid suggestions.
Anyway.
Have a quick nip down and play Auld Lang Syne.
Well, I'll give this to the wife, shall I?
Yeah, you give it to the wife.
And let her talk to you.
Yeah.
And I'll nip down and give you a tune.
Go on, kick her awake then. There we are, give it to the missus. Hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, love. You just kicked your husband out of bed, have you?
Oh, yes, you have.
I know.
Dennis.
Yeah?
We had those cross lines. I've had the most wonderful tonic that I've had for 3 years because I have been getting over a terrible nervous breakdown.
Uh-huh.
And it was a wonderful tonic I had tonight because this lady kept coming on and coming on. Now, in the end, my husband gave me the phone.
Uh-huh.
So I said to her, "Who do you want to speak to?" He said, "I want to speak to Dennis." I said, "Well," she said, "who am I speaking to?" I said, "I'm Dennis's wife." I said, "He's too busy to talk to you tonight." Said,
"Thank you very much."
Well,
thank you very much.
I did. I told Barbara she was.
Ha,
ha, ha. She made me laugh. But Dennis, it done me the world of good.
Jolly good. I see Eddie's picked up the phone down there.
I picked up the phone down below.
Okay, love.
That's nasty. If you're like me and I don't sleep without pyjamas, it can be very nasty. You're going to wake up the neighbours.
Right, oh, I don't worry about it. There's only my sister and brother next door.
Okay. A quick burst of Auld Lang Syne, I reckon, don't you? That was marvellous. That was marvellous, Eddie.
Anyway, it's lovely to talk to you again.
Okay, Eddie.
And I hope you have a very, very happy new year. Now, can I send one message to all the listeners?
Okay.
I sent it on the other night to Dennis when you were in the fist tank. Now, all you listeners, listen to the LBC. Will you please send in a postcard saying, "I listen to LBC," because they want to know how many people listen.
That's right.
And the advertisers won't take any notice of opinion polls. But if you all send your cards in, a little weenie 3 pence stamp on it, and say, I listen to LBC and sign it with your name and address.
That's it, and the address
now,
to send it to.
Then, there is, you'll know exactly how many listen.
That's not a bad
and
idea.
I think myself that it will be over the 100,000. Well, now I've got his name here, so I'll be able to poke it down the other morning. Lost it. What was that comedian on the other night?
Frank Carson.
Carson, that's yeah. it. Yeah. And I think it'll be over the 100,000, he said.
Okay, Eddie,
really
thanks a lot.
All
okay.
the best, Dennis.
See you around. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Any address if you want to send us a postcard, tell us you listen to Nightline. We'd like to know if you do listen to Nightline. Dennis Rickard, London Broadcasting, Gough Square, London, EC4. And we'll just put LBC, Gough Square, London, EC4. Soon finds us. My name's Dennis Rickard. The programme's called Nightline. It's 24 minutes past 4 o'clock in the morning, and we go to another call. Good morning.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello there.
My name is John Scotland.
Ah, good name for tonight.
good name for tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
I used to go, you know, walk around Gough Square in the old days when I worked for a certain rather large national newspaper. But that was a long time before you, you know, got into business. Hmm. I'm 53 years old, Dennis.
Yeah.
May I right away say Happy New Year?
Thank you.
I've just left a wonderful party. Now, the thing is, Dennis, I fought in the last war along with millions of other people, you know, including Errol Flynn. And having done it
He's
all...
He's the one that won the war for us out in the Middle East, I understand, in the Far East.
Oh, you know, Dunkirk and the lot of it, you know. The thing is, having done it all, I sometimes wonder how many of the people who ring you up really have ever done anything for the country at all. They're full of, you know... what they want and what they don't want. How many of them have ever really done anything for the country at all? What do you think?
I think quite a lot of them have, you know. I mean, I don't think the fighting in the last war has really any relevance on what we're facing today. I say that as one who was born in the war and who didn't serve his national service, because they very cunningly stopped it just before my number came up, which, of course, when you come to think of it, was a very good idea.
That's very fair, Dennis, because my son, you know, he's 30, and although he served out in the Far East, you know, flying aeroplanes and things, he wasn't really fighting anybody.
Yeah, but I think people have done a lot for their country. They're still doing a lot for their country.
But it seems to me you have a lot of callers that speak like that, you know, and everything, and they're full of being British and things and that, you know, and this and those. And, you know, really, I think they're conning us, Dennis.
Well, could well be, could well be, could well be.
Well, I just wonder if anybody's listening now, we'd like to say something later about this, because, quite honestly, I'm rather sick of my country being taken for, you know, a sucker by a lot of people who wait 5 years or something, get British nationality, and then use us.
I don't know, I think anybody who waits 5 years to get British nationality shows an amazing foresight.
Well, that's a good answer, you know. It's a political answer, but really, it's not too, Dennis.
Well,
they'll do anything, you know, to get on in life on our steam.
Well,
however,
that's one view. But thank you very much for calling us. I don't know. People come here. They, after all, let's be honest. Britain has been the haven of many people who've been kicked out of their own countries because of the political policies they follow. And they come to England. They come to England because we are a bastion of democracy, where free speech is the right of the individual. It's not paid for, it's the right of the individual. And why shouldn't they be welcome? We are going to play music. Herb Alpert, a new album called Herb Alpert and the TJB. It's one of these portraits of Herb Alpert, which A&M are shoving out of two records. Extremely low price. The number's AMLC4001Z, and we only tell you that because we won't have to pay for it, and we call it a review copy. Oh, all those secrets we're giving away. And this one lasts for 2 minutes 38 seconds. It's an amazingly good record, as all Herb Alpert records are, with a little help from my friends.
Thank you. of Herb Alpert and his orchestra there, and with a little help from my friends. It's coming up to 4:30 here at LBC. That means news time, and we cross now to the newsroom.
It's 4:30 and this is Ken Guy with LBC News. First, a look at the headlines. The first few minutes of the new year saw more violence in Northern Ireland. In Belfast, a man was killed after being hit by several shots. In another incident, shots were fired from a rooftop at a man and his wife. The wife was taken to hospital. And in County Antrim, an explosion at a dance hall injured 11 people and caused considerable damage. Libya has raised the posted price for crude oil to more than $18 a barrel from today. That's the highest price ever known on world markets. Nigeria has also raised its prices to $14 a barrel. In the Israeli elections, Mrs. Golda Meir's ruling Labour coalition appears to be maintaining a lead, but political correspondents say her party has sustained a 5% loss in popularity. But only a tenth of the votes cast have been counted so far. In his New Year's message, the Soviet Communist Party Secretary, Mr. Brezhnev, has been talking about the success of 1973 for Russia. He said industrial targets had been exceeded and international détente had improved. The Marks and Spencer president, Mr. Joseph Seif, is maintaining satisfactory progress, but he's still in the intensive care unit at Middlesex Hospital. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine has claimed responsibility for the shooting of Mr. Seif last night. Now the local news. A Jewish woman who says she was threatened with assassination following the shooting of the president of Marks and Spencer said this morning that she was determined to carry on as normal. Speaking on LBC's Nightline program, the woman who wishes to remain anonymous said that the Jewish community in London wouldn't be panicked by the latest threats from terrorist organisations. She said that the British government should take steps to stop the activities of Arab organisations in London that support terrorism. Yesterday, the woman, who's a leading figure in a British Zionist organisation, claimed she received a call from a man who said that she was number two on a death list, which included Mr. Joseph Seif and Sir John Cohen, the 75-year-old founder of the Tesco supermarket chain. In Belgrade, an appeal has been made against the 4-year prison sentences imposed on two London plane spotters earlier last year. From Belgrade, here's Roy Gutman with the details.
As Yugoslavs celebrate the new year with 2 days of revelry, two young Londoners in a Sarajevo prison cell are putting their hopes in an appeal against their 4-year sentences. Paul Mason of Twickenham and Robert Curtis of Mortlake, both plane spotters, were found guilty by a Sarajevo military court of espionage. They have now launched their appeal. Possibly they did uncover some classified military information, but nothing in their trial 4 weeks ago proved that they were doing this for a foreign organization, it said. Their attorney, who prepared the appeal, said it might take up to 6 weeks before it is heard, and this could be in a closed session. And even if it fails, there is always the hope of a pardon by Yugoslav President Tito. For LBC, this is Roy Gutman of Reuters in Belgrade.
A former wartime airfield at Wisley to the southwest of London is to revert to its former use as agricultural land. This follows the decision of the Earl of Lytton to exercise his right as successor.